My name is Sumaya Ruiz, and I will be presenting our work on understanding the dark side of domain parking. As Professor Mikai mentioned, this is in collaboration with a number of students and in Indiana University under the supervision of Professor Wang. Let me start by introducing what is a park domain. Assume you have a number of domains that are not hosting any content right now, but they're still receiving a huge amount of traffic or a good amount of web traffic. You would like to profit from it. One thing you can do is display a list of advertisements, but to do that, you'll have to go into the hassle of registering with ad networks, registering with a number of ad networks, choosing the best one that has the highest return for you. A common choice is to park your domain with a domain parking service. A domain parking service is a legitimate company, and they actually they primarily work as an intermediary between domain owners and consumers of third-party services such as online advertisements, traffic buyers, and branding systems. So an advertiser runs a number of different ad campaigns with ad networks, and their advertisements get displayed on park domains through the parking services. parking your domain, let's go through a number of examples. Let's say you have this one of these domains, educationguide.org, and you want to profit from it. So one thing you can do is park it with one parking service. And any visits that are directed to this domain get monetized through display of advertisements through one ad network who have an ad campaign that is running by one advertiser who's interested in the keyword education, for example. Another example, let's say you have the second domain, which is citycars.net, and you want to monetize it. You park it with a parking service. But this time, this parking service chooses to monetize the traffic by selling the traffic, redirecting it to someone who's interested in the keyword cars. This is done through a traffic exchange system that allows traffic buyers to buy or purchase traffic related to specific keywords. So in this case, a traffic buyer would purchase traffic related to the keyword cars. A less popular monetization option is branding systems and domain leasing, who provide consumers with a way of protecting their brand names, as my previous colleague mentioned. So, for example, Expedia can protect their brand name by registering with one of these branding systems. One of them is Sendori, for example. Now, using this whole monetization ecosystem, how can you park your domain with a parking service? You've got two choices. The first choice is you can redirect the traffic that you're receiving at your website through HTTP redirects, like 302s. Or the most popular choice is actually you set your name servers to point to the name server of the parking service. So for example, you want to park educationguide.org with BODIS parking service. You just set the name server to ns1.bodis.com, for example. This way, all the traffic that is going, anyone who visits educationguide.org will be redirected to BODIS, and BODIS has the complete control over the web traffic. And this is what we want to investigate. Domain owners hand over complete control over their domains and the monetization of their domains and the management of their domains to a parking service. So the question is, how legitimate are the operations of the domain parking service? Are they, for example, are they honestly reporting to the domain owners their revenues? Are they honestly reporting all the revenues that they're generating, for example? Another question is, are the advertisers actually receiving genuine clicks on their advertisements? Are the traffic buyers receiving the traffic they actually want, they actually purchased? Are they receiving traffic related to the keywords they purchased? And are these park domains safe to visit? Do they serve malware? To answer these questions, let's take a quick look at a typical monetization chain. So you have a park domain. You have a visit to your park domain. You park it. When you park it, you redirect the traffic to a domain parking service. This domain parking service chooses to monetize it through a number of third-party services. And ultimately, the visit will end up at a consumer, like an advertiser, a traffic buyer, or a brand name. So the question is, for example, if you were a domain owner, how can you actually know that you're getting actual revenue from the revenue is honestly being reported to you? The problem is, as a domain owner, you actually have a partial view of the monetization. All you have is what the traffic that hit your domain, then you redirected it to the parking service. After that, you have no view of the monetization chain. If you were lucky enough to even get that. The same applies to the end consumers, like the advertisers. The advertisers have a partial view of the monetization chain. All they see is the referrals that are sending the traffic to their web servers. So an idea here, or something that we were hoping to do, is why not get a full view of the whole monetization chain, starting from the parked domain all the way to the final destination. If we can do that, then we actually capture an end-to-end monetization, where we can have some inference about whether this monetization was legitimate or was it fraudulent. So in our work, we attempt to infiltrate the ecosystem of the domain parking industry by posing as advertisers, traffic buyers, and domain owners. The way we go about it is we register a couple of domains, park them with domain parking services, with a number of domain parking services. By the way, the gray boxes are the indicate the domains that we own. And on the other end, we run another. We set up a couple of websites for an advertiser website, and then we run a couple of ad campaigns with ad networks. We also purchase traffic. We set up a website for a traffic buyer and purchase traffic from a number of traffic exchange systems. Now that we have all of these things set up in place, the question is, we want to capture the full monetization chain. And the way we do it is by instrumenting a web crawler. We set up a web crawler and instrument it to visit thousands and thousands of parked domains. Some of them are domains that we own. By crawling these parked domains, we actually have a full view of the full monetization chain, where we own some parties on some ends of the monetization chain. Now, capturing this end-to-end monetization chain is by no means trivial. There are a lot of challenges that we had to go through. For example, as advertisers, we were hoping to get traffic from our crawlers. In order to get that, we had to adapt our ad campaigns in order to target specific characteristics from our crawler. For example, geolocation, if we were able to do that, if the ad network was providing us with the geolocation. Another thing we use is user agents. The same applies for our traffic purchase campaigns. We purchase traffic related to keywords that are similar to the keywords of the domains that we actually own, because we were hoping to get traffic from our own domains to our traffic buying websites. This actually was successful and resulted in a number of end-to-end monetization chains. Actually, it resulted in over 1,000 monetization chains. This set of monetization chains constitutes our seed or ground truth data set. We use this data set and analyze it to actually investigate whether these monetization activities are legitimate or not. What we found is actually a lot of fraudulent activities. The first fraudulent activity, which is the most obvious one, was click fraud. I don't know if it's obvious to you or not, but it was click fraud. With click fraud, our web servers, our traffic, our advertisers' websites received a lot of clicks, but 700 of these clicks, over 700 of these clicks were coming from our crawler. These are definitely fraudulent clicks because our crawler never clicked on any advertisements. Our crawler simply crawled the parked domain and followed the redirection chain leading to our advertisers. The second fraudulent activity was traffic spam, where the traffic we purchased was coming from completely unrelated domain names, and we will show an example of that. The last fraudulent activity is traffic stealing, where the parking services were actually not reporting all the revenues that they're making to us as domain owners. Let's take, for example, the traffic spam. So for the traffic spam, we ran an ad, we ran a traffic purchase campaign and purchased traffic for the keyword coupons. Because, excuse me, we had captured the full monetization chain for this example. And this, looking at this monetization chain, we see that the actual visit came from a website called SeattleSEOForum.com. This clearly has nothing to do with the keyword coupon. This is a park domain that was parked with a parking service and redirected through a traffic exchange system, which is 7Search, to our traffic buying website. That's why we called it traffic spam, because it has nothing to do with the keywords that we purchased. It's of no interest to us as traffic buyers. The second example is, the second attack was the traffic stealing. So for traffic stealing, you have a legitimate monetization. This is a completely legitimate monetization. You start with a park domain, realjobs.info, a visit to it gets redirected through the redirection chain leading to a website, which is our traffic buying website that was interested, and we were purchasing traffic for the keyword job. This is okay. All, so far, so good. The problem is that we, as traffic buyers, through this traffic exchange system, 7Search, we paid for this traffic hit. We paid 10 cents for this traffic hit. We assume that the payment propagated to the parking service. The problem is that we, as domain owners of realjobs.info, we were the domain owners of realjobs.info, did not get paid for any for this traffic, even though we, as traffic buyers, were billed for it and we paid for it. But nothing reached us as domain owners. We have another case also where with the same parking service where we received fraudulent clicks from an advertisement network called advertise.com, but none of the clicks were reported to us as domain owners too. The way to get evidence for this kind of attack is not easy. You have to correlate. You have to correlate auditing reports from the traffic buying system, the traffic exchange system, or the ad network. They provide you sometimes with fine or coarse grained reports versus the audit the revenue reports that you receive from the domain parking service. You have to correlate the two together, use timestamps, IP addresses, referrals, a number of features in order to see if this specific monetization chain was reported to you as a domain owner or not. But for these two specific examples, we were not paid for it. So this is this was using the gram truth data set that we had, the 1,000 chains, we were able to verify a number of illicit monetization activity. The next question is, how pervasive is it? So in order to do that, actually our infiltration system enabled us to collect over 1 million monetization chains. Our attempt or our goal was using this small seed of end-to-end monetization chains, we were hoping to reach or to expand on it to classify the remaining monetization chains. The remaining monetization chains were fraudulent clicks, were traffic spams that were leading to advertisers not under our control. So we were hoping to see if we can verify that these were actually fraudulent clicks. So the way we did that is through a process we call fingerprinting. Using this set of 1,000 chains, we split the data set into half, and we generated fingerprints or stamps that represent a click monetization party or a traffic monetization party. This stamp constitutes an ordered sequence of URL patterns and IP addresses that identify a certain monetization party. Using these stamps, we were able to expand and reach, we generated 11 click and traffic spams for these networks, and we were able to reach over 200,000 monetization chains. We validated this process through a twofold cross-validation, where we split the data set into half, generated stamps from one half, and applied them to the other. This was quite successful. Now, we tried to investigate or we tried to see, to quantify the fraudulent activities within this expanded set. We find that click fraud covers about 45%, over 45% of the traffic, that we were able to classify. Traffic spam covers over 38% of the traffic. So the traffic that was monetized through traffic monetization or through a traffic exchange system was more than 38%, but 38% of it was considered spam. The surprisingly, even though the traffic was monetized through a traffic exchange system, we found a lot of the traffic is leading to malware distribution through social engineering attacks or drive-by downloads even, which covered 2%. So the next question is, how can we attribute a specific fraudulent activity to a certain parking service? The whole monetization chain is quite long with a lot of redirections. So we attempt to attribute it to a certain parking service using two methods. The first method is where we find the direct link from the park domain to the stamp with no intermediaries in the middle. This way we can say definitely the parking service is responsible for this monetization. But not all of them have that. So for the other monetization chain, we attempt to identify something we call a parking service anchor. A parking service anchor is a domain controller where the users is a domain controller where parking services can redirect all the traffic to it, and the domain controller is the one that decides the best monetization option. We identify domain anchors and we're able to attribute the monetization. this resulted in this data set. We find that there is click fraud and traffic spam. We find two parking services that are aggressively doing click fraud and traffic spam. By the way, we anonymize the names of the parking services here due to legal restrictions. Surprisingly, one parking service was not very aggressive in their monetization, in their fraudulent monetization. this parking service, by the way, even though you can see in the click fraud section, it's completely empty. They are aggressively doing traffic spam, but through this traffic system, so this parking service and the traffic system, DNTX, are actually owned by the same parent company. So they're laundering the traffic through a traffic system, and then through the traffic system, they're doing fraudulent clicks. Over 40% of the traffic, or 40% of the ones that we had detected, we were unable to attribute it to a certain parking service due to the use of syndication, such as parking syndication or ad syndication. Also, they're doing malware distribution, but it's very clear that within DNTX, DNTX is the one that is very relaxant in their policies. You can set up a traffic campaign and start running your campaign within minutes without any verification. And that's why a lot of malware is distributed through their network. The last question is, how much money are they profiting? So lacking real user traffic, we attempt to estimate the percentage or the ratio of the fraudulent revenue from the total revenue. The details are in the paper, but we were able to estimate that some of the leading parking services, these are quite leading parking services, are making over then 40% of their revenue fraudulently. So what do we find out as at the end, or what do we learn here? We learned that even though parking services are legitimate companies, they're actually doing a lot of illicit activities and they're making a lot of money off of it. This calls for an immediate regulation of the domain parking industry. There is no regulation in the parking industry. A domain parking service can set up its own terms of service and do whatever they want. Some possible mitigations, for example, ad networks should identify to the advertisers, the publishers, their parking services. One ad network is doing it, all the other ad networks are not doing it. So as an advertiser, you don't know if your traffic is coming from a parking service or not. The other option is for the traffic buyers, there should be some integrity. The traffic buyers should have access to the domain that's initiated the traffic or where the traffic came from. And that is all. Thank you.
Hello. Thanks for the nice talk. My name is Andrei Kostin from Euricom. Two quick small questions, the same quick small answers if possible. First, what would you advise in terms of IRS and taxes for future researchers doing these monetization experiments, because maybe it has some interesting legal aspects? And a second quick question, do you have any insights why Google at some time, the main reason to come into the parking domain service and the main reason to exit the parking domain service business, because it was in domain business for a period? Thank you.
So for the second question, that is true. Google was actually not specifically in the domain parking industry, but they were serving ads on parked domains. They were actually sued, and the sue was successful because they were not telling the advertisers about the where the, their ads were being displayed, and the advertisers were receiving a lot of clicks from parked domains. It gave them a lot of headache, in my opinion, and that's why they decided to get out of it, because there is no regulation in that industry. And what was the first question? IRS, something related to IRS? Yeah, legal restrictions, yeah. So my recommendation is start with the legal team. We didn't. Start contacting your legal team as soon as you think about the problem, and I'm pretty sure they will be able to direct you in the right way. But it's really challenging overcoming the obstacles there. There are a lot of legal restrictions there.
I wanted to ask about the click fraud events. Did you take a look at the referrer tags, and can you give me kind of an intuition on what was the mechanism for creating these clicks? Was this pop-unders? Was this malware? How were they made?
Yep. The thing is, they're not doing any specific mechanism that you're used to with botnets, for example, where you would see hidden iframes or pop-unders or something like that. They were actually simply redirecting the visit because they already have the click URL. So they were redirecting the user to the click URL, which was leading them to the advertiser website. The referral is sometimes search websites or click servers from the ad networks. From the advertiser's point of view, the referral is a click server or a search website. From the search network or from the ad network itself, they do see that it's coming from a specific parking service, and sometimes they actually see the parked domain.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, did you report your results to the Federal Trade Commission, and were they interested?
No. We didn't report them.
Okay, thank you.
I'm just interested that you said there's two ways to park a domain, and one is HTTP redirection. So how much percent of them was parked this way to help them to assess by themselves if there's something going wrong?
Yep. So the ones that were parked, the ones that were parked through an HTTP redirection, we had no view of it, because the way we were collecting our data set was through the name servers. So by doing reverse lookup on the name servers, we were able to find all the parked domains that were parked with these name servers and then crawled them. Traffic Z is one of the parking services that it's a legitimate company, and it's a really good company. We haven't observed any fraudulent activities from their end, and they actually allow you to redirect the traffic instead of setting it to point to their name servers. This way, you as a domain owner have statistics about the traffic that is hitting your domains.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.